It's June 26, 2009, and it's Nancy Peroso sitting at the home of VB Jim Cook with his wife Dorothy in Thunder Bay, Ontario. And Mr. Cook was one of the major engineers involved in the grain elevator building, maintenance in Thunder Bay and around the world, I understand. So we started our conversation before I was taping, talking about C.D. Howe. Is that where you wanted to start, Mr. Cook? Mm-hmm.
And I put in here, about 1909, McQueen formed Barnett McQueen Company Limited and moved to Fort William. They were very successful building the Canadian government elevator, that's Elevator M. It's still Elevator M today. And it's really one of the few elevators that have used computerization to some extent. And they're quite modern. Although how modern they are right now, I don't know.
So was that elevator as it stands now, is that pretty much how it was built, or were there additions made to it? Do you remember?
There were no additions made to Elevator M, significantly. All right, I'll continue on here. Barnum McQueen Company and moved to Fort William. They were very successful building the Canadian government Elevator M, the Reliance Terminal, Pool 3, Richardson's, the Inter-Ocean Terminal, CPR Elevator D, Fort William Elevator, the Empire Elevator, the Thunder Bay Elevator, and others during the period, and were hired by the Canadian government to design and build three internal terminals at Saskatoon, Medicine Hat, Lethbridge. Mackenzie King, the Canadian Prime Minister, hired C.D. Howe to become the government inspector for this project. C.D. had no background at this time in Canadian grain industry. At the completion of the said terminals, C.D. Howe formed C.D. Howe Company and convinced Mr. Suba, S-U-B-A, Suba was an engineer of some distinction, and so the C.D. Howe Company became a natural success story. In 1929, a remarkable feat occurred. C.D. Howe designed Saskatchewan Wheat Pool No. 7, a very large terminal. Barnum McQueen bid the construction and was successful. Under the leadership of Bill Grant, a Barnum McQueen engineer and nephew of Mr. McQueen, piling commenced in March and the terminal received grain in November. That's unprecedented.
Now, when he built Pool 7, there's Pool 7A and Pool 7B.
Mm-hmm.
Did he build A and B, or is Elevator B a different structure?
Elevator B is somewhat a different structure.
Built later?
I think it was built later. I can't say for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But to complete project the size of Pool 7 in a number of months and have grain going through it that swiftly is unprecedented.
How long normally would it take? A year or two?
A year or two, yes.
How did he do it?
good organization.
Oh.
They used slip forms, of course, and all that, and they had very experienced crews, and so it was done.
So the experienced crews would be people that worked here on the other elevators?
Often in that case, yes.
And that was 1929, you said, I believe?
Yes. It was built in 1929. In 1929, the Great Depression was in full force. Most of the senior staff were American citizens with no work and a bleak future. Most decided to cash in their shares and return to the U.S. Barnum McQueen's treasury and approximately $5 million. Mr. McQueen was in the throes of organizing a new Barnum McQueen with himself as president. Mr. Mayo is chief engineer and Herbert Cook is secretary treasurer. Mayo is the originator of the Mayo spout, which is commonly used in the grain trade here.
And what does the Mayo spout look like for those of us who aren't that familiar with elevators?
It's just a pipe that can be directed from one point to another.
So is that the one that they use on the bin floor and also as chutes into the holds of the ships?
It chutes in the holds of the ships.
Okay. And Mr. Mayo was an American?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
As most of the staff of Barnum McQueen were American in those days.
And now, how did Barnett McQueen get here?
Well, that's an unusual story, just a minute.
Is that coming up later?
Yes.
While you were finding your place, so
okay, certainly.
Just a sec.
In 1892, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
The construction of the Chicago World's Fair was commenced to herald the 400th anniversary of the discovery of North America. Nova Scotia was in deep depression, and a Nova Scotian, Mr. McQueen, took a job with the Heidenbach Construction Company to build two foreign pavilions for the Chicago Fair. Unfortunately, the Heidenbach group went broke during the construction. Mr. McQueen teamed up with a Mr. Record, the president of the Minneapolis Steelworks, and the supplier of steel to the Heidenbach, and Mr. organization and completed the pavilions. They were very successful and decided to form a company named the Barnett and Record Company to serve the booming grain industry. They grew in this endeavor and built a substantial number of grain terminals on Lake Superior.
So that would be in the American side?
Well, they were on Lake Superior. Whether they were on the south side of the lake or the north side of the lake is immaterial in a way. About 1909, McQueen formed the Barnett McQueen Company Limited and moved to Fort William. They were very successful building the Canadian Government Elevator, Elevator M, the Reliance Terminal, Richardson's, Interocean Terminal, CPR Elevator D, Fort William Elevator. During the period, they were hired by the Canadian government to design and build three internal terminals at Saskatoon, Medicine Hat, and Lethbridge.
History. I understand that you're an engineer. And so where did you take your...
Engineering?
Yeah.
Partially in the Army.
Oh.
And partially, and all in Toronto University.
And how did you end up in Thunder Bay?
I was born here.
Oh. So was there any question that you would come back? Or it was pretty certain, you were certain you'd come back?
There's a... I was living with a fellow that, a Canadian, who spent most of his growing years in Cuba, Havana, Cuba, for a holiday after we graduated. My father phoned up in the interim and he said, "Jim, you never said whether you want to join us or what you're going to do. If you're going to join us, you're going to be in Val-d'Or, Quebec, on the 3rd of May. If not, God bless you and hope you have great success."
And enjoy Cuba.
And enjoy Cuba.
So your dad worked for Barnett McQueen?
Yes, he did.
And when did, how did he get involved in Barnett McQueen?
He, from the lower ranks on up, he wasn't an engineer and he wasn't a construction man per se, but he learned a lot.
And so you chose to come back?
To Val-d'Or, Quebec, which I picked up a bit of an interest in the mining industry.
Okay.
And what we were building there was a concrete headframe. Headframe is the mechanism that you put over the shaft to hoist the ore and the men and what have you. And it's built in this modern day and age by slip form methods. So basically I reported to Bill Kirkpatrick at East Sullivan Mines on the appointed date, and Bill and I got along very well.
And how, where did you go after Val-d'Or, Quebec then?
Well, to get back into the grain industry, the most important job we ever had in the grain industry was for Bunge. Bunge is centered in New York, and it is the most modern elevator in the Dominion of Canada now.
And it's located?
In the capital of Quebec.
Quebec City.
Quebec City. It's a hallmark.
That's the one down by the Old Town Quebec?
That's right.
Okay, I saw it a couple of years ago. So were you involved in building it, or was there an elevator there already?
There was an elevator there already, but we were involved in modernizing the elevator from and putting modern equipment in and enlarging the elevator, fastest elevator in Canada.
How can you make an elevator fast?
Well, for instance, we put in facilities where a train load could come in and without even unhooking the engine could unload. And 110 cars or so.
And the old elevator would unload?
Would unload all these cars with our modern services added to it.
So would you say it doubled up the speed or tripled?
More than doubled up the speed, I can't tell you. After we got through with it, the year after we got through with it, it shipped out 7 million tons in 1 year.
Do you remember what it would have shipped before you finished with it, or before you got your hands on it?
Depending on your point of view.
That's an improvement.
It's a frightful improvement. They can operate the plant with 25 active men.
And before that?
250.
Hmm.
So, now don't quote these figures.
No, but...
but it's something like that.
Yeah, seven times or more reduction. Hmm. Hmm. So, the modernization involved improving the systems for the handling of the cars. What other things were involved in the improvements?
Well, computer-wise, they could look up and see what each tank in the modernized tank system carried and held and what have you. So they knew their inventory all the time.
And before that, someone would have to go and...
etc.
Hmm. And did you say that you also added to the size of it?
Yes, we did. I'd have to show you the drawings to show you what we did.
Mm-hmm. Do you have drawings?
Oh, certainly.
Ah, well, that's certainly something we'd be interested in. Is again, if we can scan, or if you need a home for your collection, we'd be very interested.
Well, you'd have to talk to Dave Knutson.
Ah, he has them, does he?
He's the president of V.B. Cook Company.
Oh, okay. So V.B. Cook has all of these historical records. They haven't tossed them.
As far as I know, they haven't tossed them, and I certainly don't think they would.
Yes.
They could be used as examples for future.
So if we go back to your experience in Quebec, where you worked with the mine, Thunder Bay, or?
No, we got mixed up in building radar stations in the 50s.
Way up north?
No, what would you say?
Well, it was Nakina and the Pagua and Armstrong, the ones they were talking the other day in the paper.
Okay. So it took you a while to practice your new engineering skills on an elevator then?
Yes, it did.
What was your first one?
Well,
your first elevator?
The Bungie one was the first major undertaking.
When would that have been? Approximately,
early,
you know?
Early 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it must have been, yeah. But you, for the slip forming, you used it.
And
in
that's
between.
And that's the same technique you were talking about C.D. Howe using for Saskatchewan wheat pool, was the slip forming for.
Oh, yes.
Same technique that you were using on the mine?
Oh, same technique, yes. Mm-hmm. They're very. Multitudinous variations on the technique. But.
Am I right in remembering that pool two, the little elevator down
and
by
still
the
stands
that's there. Still standing, that was the first successful use of slip forming?
Oh, I don't think so.
No, I had heard they tried it in Duluth, but the elevator. Well, maybe I'm wrong here.
No, I don't think Pool 2 was early in the game.
No?
No.
Before that, even?
Before that, yes.
So what else do you remember about?
Well, I guess we started developing systems for modernizing the green handling early on in the scheme of things. And the first terminal here that we used it on was elevator end.
Who owned it at that time?
Canadian government.
Okay. And then did they sell to?
United Greengrocers, I believe.
McCabe's first, perhaps.
It could be.
McCabe's, yeah, and then United Greengrocers. Before you went away to engineering, when you went down to Toronto to take your engineering degree, were you familiar with the elevators here at all?
Basically, yes. We did enough. Maybe what interested in them, although I wasn't a student really at the time.
So this was, your dad had you get summer jobs there too?
That sort of thing.
Do you remember any of the sights or sounds or?
No, not particularly.
No.
As you know, we got involved in the United Greengrocers crash into the bay.
No, I didn't know that. So tell me about that one.
Well, you know where United Greengrocers' principal elevator is, do you?
Is that the one at the end of the current river stand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you knew that one annex fell into the water.
How did that happen?
Considerable length of time. But it damaged the 2.5 million bushels of grain that was stored in that plant. And it was just as if, you know, those tanks are 80, 90 feet high. And it just as if something came along and went under the elevator and cut all the piling. And it just slipped into the water.
Slipped in, like sort of moved off of the...
off the
pilings and down it went.
Yeah. And then we got the job, Barnum McQueen got the job of putting in new piling and pulling out the old ones and what have you. And it was interesting, we learned a number of things. Lodged well into the earth under the building. Once we got it, pulled the piling out, the logs floated. In other words, they weren't damaged in any way, other than being...
And weren't rotten.
Hmm?
Weren't rotten.
They weren't rotten.
They weren't rotten or anything like that. And we sold many of them to the paper companies.
So did the engineers ever discover what had gone wrong?
Yes, they think they did anyway. And there were all kinds of specialists involved.
So people from university researchers or just specialists from other parts of the world? So you're drawing me a picture here. I sort of have to describe it on the tape.
And these were cut out more or less in a semicircle like that.
Are those pads?
No, those are the slip, which caused the tragedy of the building falling down.
Okay, so those the, where are the silos there?
The silos were...
Oh, okay. So we have a silo sitting on a foundation here, and
yes,
the foundation on the piles?
That's correct.
Okay, and then just like a flipped off, or...?
As if they were cut off with a saw.
Hmm.
Now, the reason for this, and I haven't made this and descriptive. Those are the tanks, if you will.
Okay, uh-huh.
This is the main slab. But over here, you had a berm.
Okay, so a berm sort of resting on the edge of the clouds.
Sort of, like
sort
that.
Sort of, okay.
And this developed a tremendous amount of force.
Ah, downward pressure.
So it was the originator of this.
Hmm. So did this case study ever make it into engineering textbooks?
I'm sure it has.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
How accurate it is or how. We used to have quite a bit of the information in the office. And they might still have it.
Mm-hmm. When something like that happens, when the silos fall off of their pilings, what happens to the silos?
They crack up.
So there's rubble, do you have to take the rubble away?
You have to take the rubble away and the grain away and all the rest of it.
Did they salvage the grain at all, do you know?
Yes, they did. Well, we had the problem of salvaging it.
And what happens there? Describe how you salvage grain from a lake.
Well, that's a good question because it stinks. As Dorothy can tell you. But we salvaged grain and reinforcing steel. And
so how do you take it out, do they?
With heavy equipment.
Do they have to build a dam out?
We didn't, no.
So you just, the heavy equipment just sits on the edge of the lake and...
That's right.
Scoops away.
More or less.
More or less.
Yeah.
And then what? How does the grain get salvaged?
Well, it's... I can't remember how it was salvaged.
It was taken away in trucks, wasn't it?
It was taken away in trucks.
If, you know, after it was picked up on
picked
the water.
Up. Out of the water and then used for fertilizer or dried somewhere? Like, I know the elevators can dry grain.
Yeah,
so
I don't know. I can't remember.
Or maybe animal feed.
Dried. I guess it was animal mm-hmm. feed. We had the odd drunken moose come out of the water.
Is that for real?
That's for real. Well, our job was then to put new piling in,
mm-hmm.
and a new base slab and what have you, and so they could set up the slip forms up here. And
reconstruct the...
Reconstruct the whole.
What time of day did this happen, that the silos fell in?
Seems to me it was in the evening.
About
5 o'clock,
was it 5 o'clock at night?
Something like that.
You could really hear it.
Oh, could you?
Mm-hmm.
Were you living in this, in the current river area at the time?
No.
No.
Do you remember hearing it?
I just can remember something happening, hearing something unusual. And of course, it took a while before we knew what it was.
Mm-hmm. Was anybody in the elevator at the time?
Yes.
So were...
Yes, there were some people hurt.
Hurt but not killed.
I don't think anyone was killed.
Hmm. Were you, speaking of sort of elevators and disasters, were you living in Thunder Bay at the time that the of the 1945 explosion of the elevator?
That was Pool 5, eh?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Yeah, I was here. I was going to school at the time. University, that is. My schooling is a little exceptional. I took 10 months of schooling in the Army, in Toronto University, living in Knox College.
So that would be at the end of the war, or?
It was towards the end of the war.
Towards the end of the war.
The war wasn't over yet.
So Dorothy, are you from Thunder Bay originally?
Not originally, no.
No.
I was born in Manitoba, and then
moved
to Dryden, and then we moved to Thunder Bay.
So when did you come to Thunder Bay?
1939.
So do you remember the explosion in 45?
I was trying to remember that 45 one. I'm not sure. I would hate to say that I could remember it.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at that time, but.
Mm-hmm. And then there was another explosion. I was listening to an interview that a colleague of mine did, the 1952 explosion at Elevator 4.
Yes, that's correct.
So were you here then?
Yes.
And do you recall anything about that?
No, I had no.
Or the causes? Or?
No.
1952, you'd be up in Nakina.
Yeah.
Doing your northern, your northern stint.
And I've seen quite a few other elevator explosions. Various things took me to Argentina, where I saw the results of an explosion there.
So tell me about your Argentina experience.
Well, it wasn't exceptional.
When you think of someone from Thunder Bay working in an engineering firm here and traveling to Argentina to work on an elevator so far away, it's exceptional. So how were they similar? How were they different?
They were very similar. They were very similar.
Who had built them or designed them?
I've forgotten right now.
Mm-hmm. Did Barnett McQueen do elevators around the world?
Yeah, yes, to some extent they did. Yes. But it didn't get involved in this particular elevator just outside of Buenos Aires.
And what did it look like? You saw it right after the explosion, or?
Well, it was about 6 months after the explosion. So.
And you were there for reconstruction?
You're asking me questions I have difficulty finding answers.
Oh, that's fine. Just tell me that.
In a manner of speaking, it was to look at the replacement of the elevator, to get it back into the business of trading grain.
Did you go to other places in the world? What other places?
No, not particularly. And
For grain.
The most important one we ever got involved in was, as I mentioned, Bunge.
Mm-hmm.
That was a real challenge. And the management, you know, you hear that management by Quebecois is terrible. But we found the Bunge management above board in every way. It couldn't have been a finer organization to work for.
There are other elevators in Quebec as well, are there not?
Yes, there's quite a few.
One further down, Baie-Comeau, I think.
Yeah.
A Cargill elevator was
built.
That's
a Cargill elevator, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is there a rivalry amongst engineering firms involved in elevators, or are there so few of them that?
I would say yes, there's quite a bit of rivalry. But management usually interferes.
smooths things out or interferes?
Interferes. I'm not an admirer of green management in this country. I hope I'm not insulting your machine.
No, you're not mentioning any names, so, you know, and people can read into that whatever they want. So,
he did go to other countries with the slip forming and shaft sinking and head frames.
Mm-hmm. So your specialty was more, at least initially, in the mining area?
It became very much mining.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they're still very involved in mining. And in that regard, potash mining.
So work in Saskatchewan?
Saskatchewan, Manitoba. Well, not so much potash in Manitoba,
mm-hmm.
but Saskatchewan, very much so.
You graduated in
48,
and when did you retire?
Do you remember?
I don't know when the official date was.
Probably one of these serial retirements, taking on a job here and there. Approximately. Maybe I'll ask it a different way. How many years?
1988 was when we moved out of the house. Is that when you retired?
I guess so.
I can't remember.
So you had how many, 40 years? That would be 40 years in the business.
I guess 40 years.
So you've seen lots of changes in the grain industry in Thunder Bay over that time.
Not as much as I would have liked to have seen.
What would you have liked to have seen done differently?
I would like to see, well, right now, for instance, we have, I don't know, 3 or 4 elevators that can that are equipped to handle grain. But they so ham-handed, they will never, although they have 1 million bushel in a year.
They haven't modernized, in other words.
They haven't modernized. Elevator M is the most modern elevator in the bunch down there.
So what would have to change, do you think? Like to modernize, what would they need to do differently?
They need to get a new attitude.
Mm. And change what?
Well, I think they should tear down a number of the elevators and modernize the one they replaced them with.
They seem to be taking your advice little by little.
Little by little, but by the time they get to the final result, it's too late.
So were you around for the demolition of Pool 6?
Pool 6, and we had taken part in the demolition of a couple other elevators around here.
Do you remember the names of them?
Elevator D.
Okay, on the Cam River.
On the Cam River.
How do you take down an elevator? That was
with brute force.
Just go in and smash?
Just go in and smash. Yeah. Basically.
Seems awfully sad.
It does.
Another little engineering feat was when you had that developed that Searle
dumper. We, in cooperation with the Searle Grain Company, we designed a dumper, and the car was pushed onto the dumper and locked on stem to stern. And then the grain doors were opened. You know what grain doors are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a mechanism that the car went like that, and on both sides the doors were opened, and big paddles came in and pushed the grain out the door.
The paddles were automatic?
Well, not quite automatic, but closer than they'd ever had before.
So that was replacing the old shovel system?
Yes, it was. And was much faster than the old shovel system. You're pretty good.
Yeah.
I listened to a lot of the interviews. When you bring in a change like that, and that's a pretty major change to bring in a system for unloading boxcars, which was a big part of the work of the elevator, right?
Right.
So how do you get it adopted?
Well, ours was a hydraulic machine. And once it had been accepted, we had them in, let's see, pool three, I guess. We installed them in, if I remember right, five grain elevators before time and distance caught up to us and realized that you had to get rid of the system first.
Oh.
It was before hopper cars were invented.
So we had the shovel, and your group replaced that with the hydraulic dumper, and then the dumpers were replaced by the hopper cars?
That's right. And which brought up another question. And for instance, at Bungie in Quebec City, you have a three-track system. The car carrying the grain and the hopper car is in the center track, or is in one track. Over here is another track close to the cars with an operator on it that opens the hoppers in the grain cars and does it very well.
I've seen that. It reminds me of a big screwdriver.
It's more or less correct.
Currently Mission Terminal. It's over on the other side of the Cam River, correct?
That's right.
And beside that is a Cargill.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that? Grand Trunk?
That was Grand Trunk Pacific originally, yes.
Did you ever do work there at Grand Trunk?
No.
No? Did different companies hire different engineering firms?
Oh, yes.
Or did they just put up for the bids?
No, they hired different engineering companies. C.D. Howe had it made for a very long time. They didn't do anything without C.D. Howe's Yes, Sir, No, Sir, Three Banks Four.
Hmm. Did you know the man?
C.D. Howe?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just, that's all.
Did you know of him?
Oh, certainly.
What kind of reputation did he have? Were the other engineers happy when he went into politics?
I can't tell you that. No, I can't. I can't answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was pretty well respected by Thunder Bay people.
I have that impression.
Yeah. I think so.
And people in Ottawa, obviously, as well.
Oh, yeah, obviously, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they did very much without his backing.
Mm-hmm. So when you started with Barnett McQueen, who were the senior engineers there at the time? Do you recall any of them?
There weren't any.
There weren't any?
No. I became the chief engineer at Barnett McQueen way back when.
Hmm. Where did the other ones go, or?
I don't know.
No? Did you want to check your notes? Because I'm interested in, you know, you started off talking about how Barnett ended up in Thunder Bay. And then over time, that when C.D. Howe left the business, there was reorganizing of the engineering firms in Thunder Bay. Do you have some more information on that that you can add to our interview? I know we have it written down, but to hear it in your voice is so much better. Add to the record.
Well, I the grain industry.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, it's a very simple product. And it should be able to be handled in a very efficient way. And it is not.
How does that happen, do you think?
Well, mostly elevator workers have no training or knowledge or background in the efficiencies of the computer system, which the computer system in Elevator M was given the opportunity of telling them what they had in every bin by grade, quantity, you know, all the essentials.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not too hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Is it, I don't want to sort of answer that. It would appear to be a pretty expensive proposition to modernize an elevator.
Yes.
Could that be part of the problem?
Yes. As compared to what, though?
Profits you could make by doing it faster?
By doing it properly, yes.
Do you have any comments to make about the, and I think it relates a bit to this whole efficiency issue. Obviously in Thunder Bay, the amount of grain that is currently shipped out of here is far less than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have any comments to make on those changes?
Yeah, I think they should have been more up to date than they are. And I think that they're not very efficient.
In various interviews and some of my background reading, I remember listening to someone's interview about the impact of ships on what could, you know, the ships that could come in here and the elevators that could or couldn't handle various ships. So were you involved at all in upgrading the actual, what's the word I'm looking for, the slips or the docking for the elevators as the ships got bigger and bigger?
Only in the case of Quebec City.
Mm.
Was part of the problem with the reduction of the shipments coming to Thunder Bay, was that when they started shipping up to Churchill and to the West Coast versus coming here?
To the West Coast. But certainly shipping out of the West Coast had a great effect on the shipping out of here.
Were you familiar with the elevators on the West Coast at all?
Oh, certainly.
Now, what can you tell me about them? How are they the same or different than?
They're much the same as they are here.
Equally inefficient?
Yes.
You know, it amazes me when I look at the elevators and look at the old pictures. I've got a postcard collection of old elevators starting probably back in 1905, because they used to be the most prominent thing, obviously, in Fort William in particular, and how they look pretty much the same as now as they did then, except maybe a bit bigger.
Yeah.
So I think I see what you're saying. Well, Dorothy, anything from your memories that you can think we should add to the tape?
Not that I can think of as far as green trades are concerned.
Okay, good. So what we'll do then is you have what is the title of your little piece, just so that we have it on record on the tape, so if anybody's trying to track it down, they'll...
Not that one.
Okay.
History of V.B. Cook Company Limited.
Okay, great. So we'll get a copy of that and make sure that it's available along with the tape. Thank you very much for spending time with me on this beautiful evening and sharing your experiences. We're really pleased to have them in our collection.
Thank you.